Father, we thank you and praise you. Lord, we're here in the name of Jesus, our Lord and Savior. And Father, once again, we are so blessed to be your hands and feet. Help us, Lord, to reach the lost as you've called us to do that. And Lord, I know that there are so many yet that are still lost. But Father, we're here to preach the good news of Jesus, that there is salvation and hope. And that this world is just a resting place. We have a home, an eternal home. And I pray, Lord, that it's everyone's desire to be with you. And Lord, if they're on the fence and not quite sure, speak to their hearts. As they hear your word, Lord, let it pierce them. That they would surrender, repent, and follow you. Lord, we're going to give you all the honor and the glory and the praise. Use your servant Mark today, Lord, as he comes to preach the good news. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. Now, remain nice and quiet. Once again, this is Mark, and he's here to bring the good news. Amen.
I know one thing. I was driving down here thinking, seriously, Lord, you really are going to meet with us today? I don't know how many we have here. Let's just say 180 to 100. But Lord Jesus, seriously, you're going to meet with us today? You want to spend time with me? You want to hug me? You want to love me? You want to hug these brothers and sisters here? You want to love on them today? You want a relationship with all of us today, Lord? You really, really do. And you know what the answer is across the board for that? It's yes. Amen. He loves you. You may not love you. I may not love me at times. But He loves you. I'll tell you who else He loves. He loves the kitchen. And if you love the kitchen and all the preparation that's going on back there, give them a hand and say amen real loud so they can hear you. I know how you feel about the worship team up here. Oh, Steve, Judy, I pray for you guys during the week and the whole team down here. You appreciate this worship team. Say amen and give them a hand. Okay, one more prayer here. Lord, you're calling today. You're calling us today. You are listening to us today as we speak to you. Lord, you're reaching out and touching us today. And Jesus, you're coming back. Should you choose to come back before this service is over, that's fine with me. I'm in no hurry to leave this beautiful earth. But I know where my next breath will be taken, and that's heaven, should you decide to come back here this morning. But Lord, if you let us have this service the whole way through, would you speak to us today? Would you help us to listen? Help me to listen, Lord. And help me to absorb what I'm hearing. And then after I absorb it, help me to apply it. Not just to my life, but to my neighbor, to my family, to my friends. In Jesus' matchless name, I pray. And all of God's family said, amen. Amen. Yeah, I've got something to share with you today. I don't know how many of you listen to John MacArthur. He's on the radio, and he's been on a series about Don't Miss Christmas. It's just been great. And he talks about how the people of the day when Christ was born, how they missed it. He came to his own, and they did not know him, the Bible says. And it's true. They missed Christmas. Man, I am not going to miss Christmas. Almost sounds a little crazy to talk about it. It comes so fast, but it was October the 25th the other day, and I said to somebody, wow, 2 months to Christmas. It was October the 24th, and I said to a friend, wow, it'd be Christmas Eve in 2 months. But I'm real excited this year because someone gave me a gift this year, and I'm going to give this to my kids. I'm going to give them copies of this book. I highly recommend this to anybody. It's called Jesus Calling. Jesus Calling by Sarah Young. Let me just give you a little brief introduction about this author, Sarah Young. Her and her husband were missionaries, and they saw a lot of great things that God did, and they also, went through a lot of hardships. But, you know, I think you can relate, and so can I, that, hey, blessings are great. Man, I love blessings. Bring them on. But you know what I've come to know? The older I've gotten, I've come to say, help me with this. Don't think I'm crazy now. I love hardships. Bring them on. Now, I'm not going to complain if they don't come. I'm going to just say, Sovereign God, you're sovereign, whether I'm being blessed, whether I'm rich, whether I'm poor, whether I'm in between, whether I'm in jail, whether I'm at Jesus Said, whether I'm in the state capitol, wherever I am. But during tough times, something happens. If. Well, that's a huge two-letter word, isn't it? If we yield. If we yield to the Lord. And, you know, don't beat yourself up, because it's easy to not yield to the Lord when hard times come. But please, listen to this. This is Sarah Young writing here. This is November the 2nd. This little book has a little basic paragraph or two for each day. Comes in a flip chart calendar. Comes in a book. I really hope you can get these. Maybe the Lord will move on somebody. We can have somebody bless us with a couple cases of these, and we can give them away. This is what she says. Grow strong in the light of my presence. She speaks in the first person, by the way. So she's talking as if she is Jesus speaking to you. Jesus calling. All the more reason for the title. Grow strong in the light of my presence. Your weakness does not repel me. On the contrary, it attracts my power, which is always available to flow into a yielded heart. You know what's exciting this morning? There's yielded hearts in this room. I don't know how many, hey, but you're looking at one. I'm telling you right now, I'm not bragging. I'm just saying, I am a yielded heart this morning. I have given up. You heard that joke, right? How do Italians go to war? It's an old joke. You know, they used to say that the Italians gave up during World War II and they were afraid to fight. They just wanted to eat their pasta and love each other. And I'm full-blooded, so I'm picking on my own people. But, you know, they went to war with their hands up, okay? Instead of their rifle ready or whatever the case may be. I'm just telling you this. I surrender all. All to Jesus. I surrender all. I'm a yielded heart. I hope you are this morning. Listen to the rest of this. Do not condemn yourself for your constant need of help. Oh, Mark, please listen to that. Do not condemn yourself for your constant need of help. Instead, come to me with a gaping neediness. Let the light of my love fill you. A yielded heart does not whine or rebel when it's going through rough times. It musters the courage to thank me even during hard times. Yielding yourself to my will is ultimately an act of trust. If you agree with that, say amen with me. Yielding yourself to my will is ultimately an act of trust. I'll tell you the ultimate yielded heart here this morning. You know who the ultimate yielded heart was? It's Jesus Himself. It's Jesus Himself. He had the power to do what we're about to talk about here. I have 4 points I want to briefly talk to you about this morning. You're welcome to write them down. You're welcome to listen. You're welcome to listen online later, but the first one we just had was Jesus calling. He was a yielded heart. And you know, not everybody's doing this. Grace, I don't know how old you are, what grade you're in, but what grade are you in, honey? Fourth grade. That's my best year. Fourth grade. Congratulations. I bet you're the top of the class. So pretty. But it's not the most popular thing to children, to teenagers. To those in their 20s, those in their 30s, 40s, 50s, whatever. It's not the most popular thing to yield, to surrender. Not everybody's doing it, but I am doing it. I hope you're doing it. There's power in it. And pardon me, but I want power in my life. I want the power of the resurrection in my life. And the Bible, you don't hear it preached much, brother, but you know what they say? Hand in hand with the power of the resurrection, Paul says, in the fellowship of his sufferings. The power of the resurrection sounds like an oxymoron. Sounds totally yes and no, doesn't it? The power of the resurrection of Jesus in your life and in mine, and the fellowship of his sufferings? Well, let's just take a quick look at this. Jesus Calling, Sarah Young. Get this book. Lord willing, we can get it for you. Second point, Jesus listening. He's listening to me. He's listening to you. He can't turn down a prayer, you know? I mean, he can't. Would he tease us when he says, ask and it'll be given to you? Will he tease us when he says, seek and you'll find? Knock and the door will be open. A brother of mine says to me a little while ago, he said, hey, he goes, you probably think I'm crazy, but I pray over my car. And I said, I don't pray over my car. I said, I fast and pray over my car. I want it to last a long time. It has 160,000 miles. It's a nice car. When I get in the morning, I'm being honest with you, I thank God that it starts. I don't have the extra money for a car right now. I want to pay it off and then save that money as if I still have a car payment so I can have a down payment for when she dies. Makes sense, doesn't it? Makes good financial sense. But you know what? God's not going to change my oil. I have to change my oil. God's not going to tune up my car. I have to tune up my car. I could pray for my car all day long, but I have to do something. Does that make sense to anybody today? I have to do something. I have to seek, not just ask. I have to seek. I have to knock. Listen to this, Psalm 116, verses 1 and 2. One of my favorite parts of the Psalms. I love the Lord. Man, we could have a message right there, couldn't we? I love the Lord. He heard my voice. You know who sang that? Anybody remember? Does that touch anybody? Whitney Houston sang that. Preacher's Wife will be on this Christmas, or you can rent it. Remember when she sang that? I love the Lord. He heard my cry for mercy. Verse 2, because he turned his ear to me, I will call on him as long as I live. Psalm 116, verse 1 and 2. Jeremiah 33:3. We talked about this a month ago. Anybody remember? Anybody remember that verse? I want to challenge you. Memorize Scripture. Start with the same numbers for the chapter and the verse. It's the easy way to do things. Exodus 14:14 says, be still and know that I'm God. Jeremiah 33:3. It's all threes, brother. Listen to this. And you tell me if God would tease us and say something as powerful as this. Call to me and I will answer you. And show you great and unsearchable things you do not know. I want that. I want that in my life. I want that when the hurricane blows into my family. You know, again, back to this one brother I was just with. He was in the hospital. And didn't look good for him. Praise God he survived, but didn't look good for him. And he said, Mark, when I was in the hospital, I had a great opportunity to share Christ with a lot of people. And I said, Tom, that doesn't surprise me that you're on your deathbed and you're talking to your visitors about Jesus. Hey, listen, I'm in pretty good shape right now. I feel great, as a matter of fact. I'm on a roll. Hope I can stay that way. But that could change so fast. I'll be praying with a guy tomorrow. His name's Rick. Keep him in your prayers, won't you? And his wife, Karen. I don't know what happened to Rick. I don't know their story well. I just know that he dropped. He didn't drop dead, but he dropped into a vegetable. He's my age. He's in his 50s. He's in a nursing home. Can't talk. Can't walk. I think he can still think. But he can't feed himself. He can't do anything. And his wife, when she comes to visit him on Sunday, she just walks through those halls like an angel. I know she wants to cry. I know there's times she wants to scream. But I know that she reeks of Jesus. And her husband is in this state of being. That's hard to get a grip on that. But I'm telling you, I know that Jesus is listening, even if I'm on my deathbed. I also know that he's not only calling, he's not only listening, but the third or the fourth part here is Jesus is touching. He's touching you, Vicki. He's touching you, Brother Dave. He's touching us. He has his hand on us. But some of us block it, you know. We throw up a block because we just don't want him invading in our life. Let me share your short story with someone I know who's blocking it every time it comes his way. He has no idea that I'm praying for him. But my neighbor, and don't think I'm judging my neighbor, because I, unless for the grace of God, there go I. He has prostitutes in and out of his apartment. He stays drunk. And then he has prostitutes in and out of his apartment. And then he stays drunk. Somehow he holds his job. And I hear them. I hear her. I hear them. I see them. They keep me awake. But little do they know that there's somebody praying at that very moment of intimacy. I'm praying for both of them. And then his friends come over and they stay drunk. And last night they never went to bed. I went to bed. I woke up at 1 from the noise. I woke up at 3 from the noise. I woke up at 5 from the noise and thought, just stay up and pray. And I went outside to go to men's breakfast this morning, 10 till 7. I'm only 10 minutes from the church. They're having a bonfire. They never went to sleep. I knew when I came home it'd be daylight, and they'd go back in their coffin. Ooh, did I say coffin? I'm not trying to be mean, but they're walking dead men. They're walking dead men and women. They just don't know it. But I don't want to judge them. You know why? Because for the grace of God, there go I. There go I. And I invited them to the men's breakfast. And I think one of them said when I was leaving, love you, brother. I think he slipped. I think he's just used to saying that to his drinking buddies. And he don't even know me. And he said, love you, brother. And I got in my car and I thought, Jesus, thank you that I didn't lose my mind and throw a fit when I couldn't sleep because of all the noise and the brothel and the bar and everything else that's going on all night long until they get back in their coffin and go to sleep for the day. And they'll wake up tonight and do it again. Jesus touched them. I know he did. They didn't tell me, but I saw his hand. And he's touching somebody here this morning that's being impacted by this. I hope it's you. I hope the devil is not tricking your mind saying, let's get to the food. Hey, and I'm all for getting to the food. Let's get to the clothes. I'm all for getting to the clothes. Let's get to it. But there's the time is so short. And this is why I love these people who are professional sinners. You know why? I'm getting cleaned up this morning. I'm literally in the shower and I'm praying. Lord Jesus, I'm naming their names. I know 4 names. Lord, I'm not judging them, but if they die today, is it true that they're going to burn in hell forever? Help me to do something. Help me, Lord, to do something. Help me to touch them. They didn't come to the men's breakfast, but they heard me ask them. They heard me reach out to them. Jesus calling, Jesus listening, Jesus touching. And hang on. Hang on. Jesus coming. Steve, I appreciate if you play in the background while I read this little story here, this parable. And then we'll pray. Thank you so much for listening today. Take your Bibles and open up to Matthew 25. This parable of 10 virgins. Why is he using that as a example? Why is he using that word? Well, let's just think about what a virgin is here this morning. And I want to be careful. You know what it is. That's enough. But he uses it for a reason. We're going to talk about that in a minute. Matthew 25, verse 1. Oh, I just noticed something. Matthew 25, verse 1. I just noticed these words are written in red. Seriously? Hey, I got people in my life that help me. They say things to me and I listen. And by the way, I have people in my life that talk to me and I don't listen for a reason. No offense. You know what I'm saying? But there's people in my life that help me. Now we have words written in red, which tells me these are the words of Jesus. We have them. Oh, God. Thank you so much. Thank you so much that the words of your Son were not lost. We have them today. November the 2nd, 2013. Are you kidding me? What a privilege to have this knowledge. Seriously, please don't let us take it for granted. Verse 1. At that time, the kingdom of heaven will be like 10 virgins who took their lamps and went out to meet the bridegroom. Jesus is our bridegroom. We're his bride here today. Enough said. A lot of you know that. Some of you, that's the first time you've heard that. Jesus is the bridegroom. We're his bride. 5 of them were foolish and 5 were wise. The foolish ones took their lamps, but did not take any oil with them. The wise, however, took oil in their jars along with their lamps. Listen to this. Verse 5. The bridegroom was a long time in coming, and they all became drowsy and they fell asleep. At midnight, the cry rang out, "Here's the bridegroom! Come and meet him!" Then all the virgins woke up, all 10 of them, the 5 and the 5. All the virgins woke up and trimmed their lamps. The foolish ones said to the wise, "Give us some of your oil, our lamps are going out." "No," they replied, "there may not be enough for both of us and you. Instead, go to those who sell oil and buy some for yourselves." Verse 10. But while they were on their way to buy the oil, the bridegroom arrived. Let me just pause right there for a minute. I was talking to somebody not too long ago. This is what she said to me. I felt so sorry for her. She said to me, "Why did they have to kill him?" She didn't say it that loud. I didn't mean to shout there. I'm sorry. But she said to me very tenderly, "Why did they have to kill him?" I said to her, "Mom." Did I just say mom? My mother asked me that. "Why did they have to kill him? She's 87 and a half years old. And my mother, God bless her, raised all us kids in the church. Didn't take time to learn and go herself. And she did not know why Jesus had to die." There's someone here today that did not know why. Does not know why. Never gave it much thought why. I'm not trying to be mean or judge you, but you never really thought, why did Jesus have to die? I'll tell you one reason he had to die. So he could rise again. So he could rise again. And he could live in your heart and live in mine. And he could be this bridegroom that's coming back at any given moment. I don't know if it's a coincidence. I don't believe there's such a word. God is sovereign. If you believe that, say amen. That means he's in control. He's in control. It's just a big word. And he's good. And he's with you always, and he loves you. And Billy Graham is going to be preaching on November the 7th, I believe. His last message. Do you think God's hand is, you think God has touched him? You bet he has. You think he's touching you the same way he touched Billy Graham and his family? Oh, yeah. This bridegroom's coming. Listen to this, then we're going to pray. Verse 10, I'll repeat it again, then we'll read 3 more verses. But while they were on their way to buy oil, the bridegroom arrived. That's this Jesus who died, the Jesus who rose, and the Jesus who's coming back. That's him. The virgins who were all ready, they went in with him to the wedding banquet, and the door was shut. I'm sorry, but that frightens me. Hey, and I confess, way back when, Dave knows, I didn't tell him this, but he might remember. I got scared into the kingdom of God. It frightened me. It frightened me to think of being separated from Almighty God forever. I wanted to know more, and I found out, and I gave my heart to Jesus. Verse 11, later the others also came. Sir, sir, they said, open the door for us. But he replied, I tell you the truth, I don't know you. Verse 13, this is Jesus speaking now. Therefore keep watch, because you do not know the day or the hour. Yeah, I'm sorry, but I can't tell you the day or the hour when Jesus is coming back. I can't tell you the day or the hour when He's going to come into your heart if you have not received Him yet. I'm not inviting you to church today or men's breakfast like I did those people this morning and last night. I'm inviting you to Jesus. Hey, I love my church and I love your church. I'm sure it's a great place. But it's all going to burn up someday. Jesus, Jesus, friend of sinners, Jesus, would you bow your heads with me this morning? I have to believe somebody was impacted today. I know I was, Lord. We heard 4 points, Jesus calling, in this great book. Again, I'm not trying to sell anything, but get this book, Sarah Young, Jesus Calling. We listened to a point that said Jesus listening, and we believe that you said if we call unto you, you'll show us great and unsearchable things we don't even know yet. And then Jesus touching others. Lord God, you reached out and you touched the man with the leprosy and the withered hand. You touched Lazarus with your voice when you said, come forth, Lazarus. You're touching someone here today, and you're about to come back, and it's harvest time, and we don't want anybody to be lost because we love them. Hey, if God's speaking to your heart, it's basketball time. Come up here. Come up here to this area, right under the hoop, if you'd like. We could kneel, we could stand, we could pray. We could talk to you about Jesus. You could talk to us about your pain. We could give your pain to Jesus. There's an altar over here. We can pray with you over there. You could pray in your seat right now, this prayer. Pray with me if God's speaking to you. Dear Lord Jesus, I love you. Please forgive me of all my sins. Come into my heart. And help me, Lord, to trust in you every day of my life. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Give the Lord a praise this morning.